Good to be here this evening, and good day to everyone. And I will put a little bit of music on for just a minute and give everybody a chance to come. Like the words of that song.
Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Good day to everyone, and it's good to be back. We have spent quite a bit of time on the book of Revelations, and today I think I'm going to start somewhere else, take a good look at things, but we took the last 3 months, for those that haven't been on or those that may come on and look at a later date. It was around November the 14th. The message on the Son of Man in the Midst is where we started, and last Tuesday was where we ended. So it was right at 3 months, and we took those messages and looked at the book of Revelation and how it relates to the world, how it relates to the individual, and it was on my heart for close to a year to do that, after I came out of the surgery and things. And so I just kept studying on it and looking at it and paying attention to things. And so it's not a hard book to understand. I brought it out as it had six pictures, and those six pictures were portraits of Christ and Christ giving John the Revelator a revelation of himself in six different manners. So I brought those out, and just to look back just a little bit, if this is the first time you're listening, the six pictures of Christ were drawn out in canvas style, like pictures is the way I put it. And it was chapter 1 to 3, Son of Man in the midst of the church, chapters 4 to 7, the scene in the throne room, the opening of the seals, and chapter 8 to 11, the trumpets and the battle of the mind, and chapters 12 to 14, the woman, the man-child, and the dragon, and that whole transformation, and chapters 15 to 19, the Antichrist is overcome, Babylon falls, and chapters 20 to 22 was the New Jerusalem, New Heaven and Earth. Then we took seventh message on that, which was Alpha and Omega, and we took an eighth thought, which was the cycles of resurrection, and which was just this past Tuesday. So if you can pull those up on our website or on our YouTube, we are on YouTube under Independent Thinker. You can go to at Independent Thinker 1954 and find YouTube. You can come to Facebook and find Independent Thinker. And, of course, I do put out messages on Twitter and X now and Instagram, True Social. So I'm going pretty much across all of the Rumble, across all of them, and starting to spread the message and have a lot of interest. And so I'm having a good time with that. Now, it's been on my heart for a while to take another look at the change a couple of different ways. The universal change, the change in the earth, the change of dispensations, the vibration and the frequency changes that are going on, and how that we moved into a new age altogether, with the emphasis totally on changing from Pisces and church age and a era of rules, regulations, organization, government, and moving it over into another day, and with emphasis on totally other things. So for a few minutes, I want to bring an opening view of these changes. It was back in maybe 2020, right around 4 years ago, that I took some time to go into it. And I went back to those, and I was listening to some of them through the week, through the last couple of weeks, and so many things that we said were going to happen, that I said were going to happen, are taking place right now. And I don't mean just a few. There is a lot. So I'm going to go back over these things, and, you know, as you spiral back around, I'm doing it for two reasons. After a few years, you spiral back around, and you find so much more that has happened than what was going on back then. And then, of course, we have an entire young generation who is coming up, and they are begging me, just like the book of Revelation is one of the reasons I went there, is because they're saying, you know, we have a fundamental view. Our parents in the churches kind of taught us the fundamentals of it, but we don't understand it, and could you please go into it? And so I did, and you know, right after I finished up the book of Revelation, I got this, just a scolding letter from a brother overseas, and he said, who do you think you are to go beyond William Branham in the book of Revelations? And so I wrote him back, and I said, I am really humbled that you took the time to listen, and you must have, or you wouldn't be asking me anything about it. You wouldn't know what I said or did. But I said, I appreciate you being humble enough to listen to it. And I'm just amazed that you would think that I could go beyond William Branham. I don't know anybody that's went what I would call beyond William Branham. I know people like me that have worked off of his platform and has said many more things than he said, but I said, you know, the book of John, he said if everything was written down that Jesus said in books, the world couldn't contain it. So I don't have to worry about just saying what he said in a book. I can, by revelation, understand and say further things. So that's okay, though. I understood where he was coming from because we did take it in a totally different view, and we moved it forward about 50, 60 years instead of staying under the old fundamentals. So it's been on my heart a while to come to this again. And for a few minutes, I'll bring out the opening views of these great changes and universal change, the dispensational change, the changes in the earth, the changes in every realm from political to right down the line, government and religious. And we're going to look at that today because it was ending up an entire age. It was an old world going away. And so we have stepped into a new world. So I want to go into that just a little bit. And I realize that we're not in the old world anymore. Every realm and dimension is pouring out a new understanding. Science, so far beyond where they were at just a few years ago. And science and religion and politics, spirituality, all of these things are just flooding into the earth with Pluto coming in and with Neptune moving in and with Saturn beginning to lose its position in Aquarius and Uranus taking over, which is a much more compatible and practical rather than forceful and rules and regulations. So all of that is going on. And every realm and dimension is pouring out a new understanding and a new way of life and a new walk and a new vibration and frequency. You see it all across the political scene. You look at Venezuela. You look at Argentina. I've been putting things out on my Facebook and on YouTube in different places just so you can see it, because a lot of people don't have the time. They work and everything else. But Spain and Poland and Portugal all the UK, Britain, England, Ireland, Scotland, United States, Canada, there's just a huge, huge uproar and against where the government was headed. And I say the government, I'm talking about a total across the world where they were headed. The European Union has kind of surrendered and said, we're backing off. We're not going to do this. Of course, you see what's going on in the United States and how that they've tried to bring in this global world order, and it's just not working for them. So all of these things are happening all over the world. And so let's take a look at it. We see a new frequency and vibration in the earth, the actual earth that you walk on. The vibration and frequency has changed in it, and it's affecting many people, especially water signs. They are just having a terrible time. Pisces and Scorpio and different ones with a whole lot of their body and feelings and everything else. So it's and others, it's a great move for them because it moves them out of some mental misery and everything else, and it puts them into a higher frequency. So let's go to the fundamentals of Lynx. If you remember when the man came and met me in the ICU, he said that people are Lynx. He said, we call things dimensions. And he said, really, it's Lynx. When you contact one another and you open up to one another, you're opening up links to learn more and more and more, and you're opening up more dimensions for yourself. So I want to go to those links of those dimensions with the elements to understand where we're at in this time and in this time frame. So I do want to say, for those of you that haven't noticed it, I did change everything. Twitter, I changed to Independent Thinker. Instagram, I changed to Independent Thinker. Facebook and YouTube are both Independent Thinker. And I'm trying to get it uniform across so that if somebody wants to find me, instead of trying to find me under 10 different names, they can find me under one name no matter where they go. And it makes it a little bit easier. So I did do that. And so just remember, if you're looking things up for me, we have a website. That website is spiritualenergy.net. And then everything else, from YouTube right on down the line, Facebook and all of them, it's Independent Thinker. So in the beginning, I want to read this scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's a pretty simple scripture when you read it. Most people read right over it because, you know, it's the first scripture in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm going to break that down just a second because I'm going to go into how we've been caught up. That's kind of the title for my message. Now, it's Caught Up in Aquarius. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1 and 1. So, beginning. There's a word in there called beginning. Beginning means time. It's the third dimension. It's logic, which is the sixth dimension. You begin to think. You begin to do all those things. And you begin to invent. You begin to create. So it's time and it's logic. And so then there's a word in there called spirit. In the beginning, God, which is spirit, created heaven and earth. That would be the seventh dimension. So we've got the third dimension right there in the first verse. We got the sixth dimension right there in the first verse. And we've got the third dimension, sixth dimension, and seventh dimension, the spirit, God. And then it comes right on down and it says created. In the beginning, God created. Created is discovery. It's invention. It's the fourth dimension. So we've got third, fourth, and sixth, and seventh dimensions right here in the first verse of the Bible. And then it says he created the heavens, with an S on it, which is the space. Okay, so we got space. We got, that's dimension number one. And then he says he created the heavens and the earth. Second dimension, matter. So you've got all seven dimensions right there in the first verse. I'm sorry. I missed one, didn't I? Fifth dimension. Well, let me put it like this. The Spirit subjugated one dimension to mankind to create it and placed humanity here to get the job done. And I would say we've done our part in completing the fifth dimension. The fifth dimension being hell and carnality. And we've done pretty good at that. And all the others are right in there. And then we come in and we open up humanity, Pandora's box, whatever you might want to call it. And we open up humanity and we create the fifth dimension. Hell, carnality, all of these things. And so we see this going on. And that's the way it goes all the time, is the Spirit moves, and when it moves, it speaks, and it creates, and it takes all seven dimensions and just exacerbates them, puts them right out there and blows them up and manifests them into something new. Now, inside that creation, there's four elements, and we know what those four elements are, and we've taught on those four elements quite a bit. The first one being water, and water is where all creation comes to be, is from water. And, You say, well, where do you get that? We'll get there in just a second. So water is where all creation began, in the water. And then the second one is fire. And this is to place a purging, or fire is a type of rapture, a purging or a rapture. The third one is air. And, of course, air is in the air. It's raptured up into the highest of realms, the highest of dimensions. And the fourth one is earth. So you've got water, fire, air, and earth. And earth is where all the things that we create and all the things that we do, earth is where we put it into practical application, or we begin to live it out. And so we see this returning to earth after all of the other things take place. You return back to earth, the fire purges, the air raptures, and you come back to earth to establish a kingdom. Just like you go through the water world being Eden. That's what they were living off of, botany. They weren't eating meat. They were living off of water. It was a water world. You go through the water, you come into the fire, you rapture up in the air, and then you come back to earth to set up your kingdom. You go through that cycle of elements continually, every day. And then you got the four beasts, and those show up every time there's a great change going on. You got the lion, the ox, the face of a man, and an eagle. Now, if you look at those four, lion, ox, face of a man, and an eagle, you realize some things about them, because it's a progression is what it is. And you realize this, that the lion, when they're young, they drink milk. And the ox, when it's young, it drinks milk. And the face of a man, when you're young, when you're a baby, it's milk. So we see this, but then when you come to the eagle, the final progression, the final completion, the eagle never drinks milk. The eagle is a mature bird, and all it does from day one eats meat, and that's it. So you see this with the eagle, milk, 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 and then meat. And also you see that it doesn't say a lioness, it says a lion, so it's a male. And it doesn't say you, so an ox is a male. And it's the face of a man, a male. But then the scripture says that the eagle stirreth her nest. It moves through a progression where that the alpha is working, the male is working continually, and forcing and pushing and building a kingdom and doing all these things. But when you get to the fourth, when you get to that eagle, it moves more into omega. It becomes mutable. It becomes compassionate. It becomes all those things that makes it easier to deal with. It's not so much, it's like a young man, you know, a little boy. He needs a father. And he needs discipline, and he needs correction. And then as he moves on, if that father's got any sense at all and he wants to have a relationship, he's going to have to kind of put that away after a while and treat the son with a relationship, with a love for one another, and with compassion, and with all those things, and be a friend to him. If you want to keep a relationship instead of trying to correct him all the time. So you see that going on. And then, of course, the four, it runs perfectly. The lion is the lion of the tribe of Judah, the king. And then you have the ox, which is the savior. And you have the face of a man, which is the priest. And then you have the eagle, which is the prophet. So you got prophet, priest, and king that came in the form of a savior to take us through to where we're at today, moving into this Aquarius. And then you got the four-colored horse rider. Those four beasts, they manifest themselves in us. And the horse riders, You know what they are? They were white and red and black and pale. And we talked about that. We brought all that out. So you had white being temptation and red being lust and black being sin, and pale was the rider of death. So you had temptation, lust, sin, and death. And you had four life messengers, which were justification, sanctification, baptism, and the full word. You have four life messengers, which were the lion, the ox, the face of man, and an eagle. You have four death messengers, which are temptation, lust, sin, and death. So all of that is working inside you, moving in you, to carry you into the age that you need to be in. So we see this now. Let's follow up some on this entry into Aquarius. We know that we came into Aquarius. And I want to go backwards a little bit. And I want to show you that based on the zodiac and based on how many thousands of years it has been in this cycle, I know it's been in probably millions of cycles, but in this cycle, it was the Cancer Age or the water world where that Adam and Eve came into the earth, put on flesh, put on dust, stepped into the world and began to function in the world, and it was in the water world. They weren't eating meats. They weren't doing all these things. Everything came up from the ground. It didn't rain from the sky. It came up from the ground and it watered. So they were living in a water world. And then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know all the stories and the different things. We're not going to get into that tonight. But we see where that when they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were going to progress. They were going to move forward. It's what you do. When the more knowledge you receive, the more understanding you receive, the more experience you receive, the more you move forward. So they moved out of that Cancer Age, which was a water world. And Adam and Eve began that world, and it was Cancer is a water sign. And so when they moved out of the water sign, they began to sacrifice animals, and they began to take on the concept of a savior, and they begin to take on a concept of a redemption plan. And that redemption plan was to bring them back into fellowship with the Spirit. So they moved into the age of blood. After water, a birth going on. After water comes the blood. It's the Taurus age. After the Cancer age, Taurus came in. So for me, this is just my personal opinion. I think that the whole Garden of Eden age, if you just sit down and take a look at things, was somewhere around 2,000 to 2,050 years because it was an age. And they were in that water world for that length of time. And then they stepped out of the water world under a redemption plan into the Taurus age, no longer the Cancer age. But about 2,000 years later, they stepped out of the Garden of Eden into the Taurus Age. And when they stepped into the Taurus Age, that age of Taurus, which was about 2,000 years, it ran from the time that they stepped out of the water world to the time that Taurus was ending. The sun was moving into another house. It had moved from Cancer to Taurus. It had taken 2,000 years from Adam to Noah, from the time of the fall, Genesis 3, to Noah. It was the blood world, and it came out of the water world. So they actually advanced themselves. Someone said, well, they failed. They did this. They advanced themselves. When the water breaks and the blood comes, that child is advancing. It's not going backwards. It's not backsliding. It's coming out. And so you see that from Adam to Noah, the blood world came out of the water world. Taurus is an earth sign. And all of your historians and everyone else, when you read about that age from Adam to Noah, what you're reading about is they call it the age of government, the age of human government, because all of these nations begin to set themselves up. Nimrod, when they came out from the ark, and all those things begin to happen. You see, that age was government, politics. Historians said this age was human government across the earth, all the way up to the time of Noah. They set up all kinds of government. And then you come to where the ark came up, 8 people on that ark, and that was the history of the Hebrew world. And they moved out of the Taurus age, which was an earth sign. They came from Cancer into Taurus. From Taurus, they moved into an Aries age. And Aries is about 2,050 years, just like the others. And so when you moved into the Aries age, that Aries age went from Noah to Jesus. And this Aries age was a fire age. Aries is a fire sign. So you had water, you had earth, you had fire. And you see that in that time frame, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 patriarchs, the law, the purging of humanity, under the law, putting everyone guilty under sin. And it formed a shadow state in there also. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So there was a people who had eternal life, but were walking in a shadow of death. And it was a shadow state set up symbolically in the world. And you can see that by looking at Abraham. Abraham had Ishmael. And so Ishmael set up 12 dukes. He had 12 sons. I mean, he had the identical system that when Isaac had came from Abraham, and then Isaac had Jacob. Jacob set up 12 patriarchs, 12, the exact identical system. So you had this shadow state or this shadow movement going on, just like you have in duality all the time. You have a shadow movement kind of going on. So we see this moving through and moving from one age to the next. I wanted to make sure you understood the Cancer age was in the Garden of Eden. And the Taurus age was from Adam to Noah. And the Aries age was from Noah up to Jesus. Now, when Jesus come on the scene, of course, during that time, you know, they had the 12 dukes, and they formed all of the Arab nations, and you had the 12 patriarchs, and they formed the nations of Israel and Europe and some of those places. And then you had Babylon, which raises up into its great power. And you had Nimrod, who became the great conqueror. And it was that age, like the historian said, of great government and forming all the nations throughout the earth. So you see that going on, and then Rome rises up, and so then we come down to the end of that age, and you've had many great civilizations, and they have left their mark on humanity and on the earth. And you come down to Jesus, and he's moving around in that age, and he's crying out the whole time, you know, I am he. I am. Except you believe that I am, you should die in your sin. I am the resurrection and the life. He was screaming, I am, the whole time. And Taurus was a earth sign. But when you come to Aries, it was a fire sign. And the character of Aries was, whether you know it or not, just look it up, I am. So here's Jesus at the end of the Aries age screaming out exactly what the Aries character was. I am. And we see that Aries came to its end. Jesus came to his cross. All the prophecies of the Aries and everything came to pass exactly like they said that it would in the scriptures. Isaiah 53 and all the different ones. Then we come, you're leaving Aries, you're leaving that part of Alpha that showed up in Christ, and you come to Pentecost, which Pentecost was an opening. It happened in Gemini, I guess is the best way to put it. And you had the Passover, which was April 14th, and you take 50 days, and it goes out to like June the 4th or whatever it is. But anyway, it was born under the sign of Gemini as far as the monthly cycle of the sun and the seasons and all those kinds of things. But the sun itself moved into Pisces. So now we've had Cancer, Taurus, Aries, and at the time of Pentecost, Acts 2, Pisces, the sun is moving into Pisces, leaving Aries. It's bringing its embedding and imprinting Pisces into the earth. And Pisces, we see that at the end of Pisces, once we come into Pisces, we had all the law, and then we come into the Piscean age, and we come 2,000 years, and there were seven sisters or seven churches. You know why I said seven sisters? If you understand the zodiac, in Pisces is a constellation called Pleiades, which is called the Seven Sisters, which is the seven church ages. So Pisces was going to, it was already written in the heavens, was going to reveal out seven church ages, seven sisters, seven messengers, stars. There were seven stars. And so it was going to reveal all that out. And then at the opening of the seals, it did it. And at the opening of the seals in 1963, William Branham came at the end of Pisces with the pillar of fire, vindicating him over his head, in his life, in his meetings, just constantly vindicating who he was. He came and he was crying out something. Now, if you know the character of Pisces, you can just go find it yourself. It is only believe. That was the character of Pisces. Well, here comes William Branham, just like Jesus did at the end of the Piscean age, and he gets a song, and he begins to take it all over the world, and it's his theme song, Only Believe, and people are singing it across all seven continents because it was Pisces in its character ending up. Now, we're looking at a transition because I want to take us out of Pisces, and William Branham was the seventh messenger to Pisces. There's no doubt in my mind. I have studied and studied and looked, and I've studied his message, and I've studied many men that were in the Laodicean age. Nothing like him even compares. So he was definitely the Laodicean church age messenger, and he even was screaming out the character. And what did he have? A great healing revival at the end of the church ages. And so he comes down to the end of the church ages. He's gone through 1933, which was the baptism and the pillar of fire. He goes through 1946, which was the angel of the Lord sending him in a healing ministry to the world. Tells him that Israel is going to become a nation, which did in 1946. In 1956, he felt very troubled, very upset about the age and about the church and the way things were going. And he came out and he gave, you can just go back and read it through many of his messages. He said he believed that 1956 was the final call to that age, or it was the ending of the Laodicean church age, which he said in 1964 it was the ending, said it in the Future Home and many other places. But he brought it down to where it was ending. The Pisces age was ending. Well, as a prophet, he was standing there. Now, in 1956, I've said for a long time, I said it in 1970, and I got a lot of people upset at me, that the church ages had already ended. I said that the church ages ended, but here's William Branham. Now, he says 1956 was ending everything up. 1956, the church ages, he declared by a prophet, 1933 to 1956, seventh messenger sounds, and there was a seventh messenger to sound. It began in 1906. The messenger to the age sounded from 33 to 56, and the seventh angel messenger did his duty. He did what he was supposed to do. He raptured the church. He brought, what did he rapture them out of? You say, well, what did he rapture out of them? Where'd they go? They came out of denomination and moved over into a brand new message. He raptured them over into Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Let me read this. The messenger sounds and completes the age of the church. That is in the seals book. The messenger sounds and completes the age of the church. 1956 to 1963, he was still here. And he was still ministering. And he hadn't yet opened the seals. So what were those 7 years? It was exactly Malachi 4, 5, and 6, where that Elijah was to come on the scene. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in a stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. That took place. Pentecost and the church world, a prophet came, set his feet on land and sea. Do you know where the two beasts, the beast and the image came from? Land and sea. He put his feet on denomination, land and sea, and put an end to it. Cut his head off. And it ended it, and they became ashes, or all of those things began to fade away. And then he says that you'll go and grow up as calves in a stall. It's a brand new age. Babies, calves in a stall, growing up. And he says that, thus saith the Lord, remember ye the law of Moses my servant. Remember what William Branham said to you in 1963 and 64 when he said that the spirit of Moses was upon him. Remember what was taught. And then he come back and he says, remember the law of Moses, which I commanded unto you in Mount Horeb for all of Israel with the statutes and the judgments. And then he said, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So we're watching Pisces in, and we're watching a midwife, so to speak, taking a baby out of a womb of the church, which he said very clearly himself in the unveiling of God, that the church ages was the womb of Mary, the womb of the church. And spiritually, he had delivered them out of that womb. So Elijah the prophet comes before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest, which means after, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So after I have done this, I will come, and everything that doesn't want to move forward into the Aquarian age is going to fade away. It's going to become ashes under the soles of our feet. So then in 1960, we're talking about moving into the Aquarian age. That's where we're caught up into Aquarius. I just want to get that across to you real clear. 1960 of May, William Branham comes back. He's in his Elijah ministry. from 56 to 63. The Elijah ministry was to return us to all of the understanding of the fathers and the doctrines and the mysteries, and everything was supposed to open up. So the curtain of time opened up to him, and he seen all of us over there. He said, I've seen every one of you. He said, I've seen you. He said, I've seen Moses there. I've seen Elijah there. I've seen you all over there. And so then he brings it to where all of us were there. And you know where I believe he was looking? I believe he was looking at right now. He's looking at, you say, well, where are they all at? They're right here. Nobody's living in the past. And there's nobody living in the future. There's no past and there's no future. You can't live there. Neither one of them exists. We're all right here, right now, living in this space, dimensionally, all here together. So he sees that, and he begins to open up all the mysteries about the theophany. He brought the Hebrew book right after the church ages ended. He brought the theophany in. He brought all of those great things in. And that Elijah ministry just kept pushing us forward, pushing us forward. By 1960, he had caught a vision. He had seen a place. He went there, and he was walking there. And it taught me so many things. Somebody said, well, Brother Parnell, the theophany knows all things. Well, the theophany has knowledge of all things. I will say that, but it doesn't know all things. Because William Branham said, I went there, and he said, I was in my theophany. He said, I was looking back at my body laying on the bed. And he said, millions of them come running. And he said, I thought, who are these? Well, theophany knew all things. He'd known who they were. Here they come running. And he asked the angel standing there, and the angel said, no, he said, are these my family, Branhams, all these? He said, no, these are your converts. And he said, am I in heaven? He said, well, yeah. He said, where's Jesus? I want to see Jesus. Well, how come he didn't know where he was at? The theophany is also changing and learning all the time. It holds all the knowledge, but it needs experience to keep learning. So here we see him, and I'm not going to go into all that, but I'm showing you the change that took place, how quickly and how we moved. In 1962, I'll tell you this, if you want to go read his messages from May of 1960, the Rejection, I believe, is the name of the message. From that day forward, you won't find one book where William Branham doesn't talk about that 1960 experience going across the curtain of time. It might only be a paragraph, but it so mesmerized him. It changed his life forever. 1962 of May, the planets aligned in the heavens, and the prophet declared that it would be an issue of God, a new revelation. Great revelations will begin to break into the earth. That was in communion in 1962. And then in 1963, The Son of Man, moved on the scene, took over that redeemed body, and began to bring all of the mysteries out. 1963 to 1966, December 24, 65, he passed. The Son of Man in his fullness was back on the scene. Luke 17, 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, we've read that. So shall it be likewise. And then he says, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. We know the Son of Man, according to Matthew 24 and 30, has been here, been revealed. And the whole seven church ages have been revealed. All the seals have been revealed. The church ages have been folded up, locked up, put on the shelf, and we moved into a new day. Now, 1963, in March, seven angels appeared. The meeting in the air, Remember I told you we come all the way down through and we got down here to Pisces. It's a water sign. And then after Pisces, which is where we're talking right now, we're breaking into Aquarius, after Pisces is an air sign. So you move from the water to the air. You move from the water. You had a prophet in fire. You know what happens when you take fire and explode it in the water? Great explosion. Water turns into what? When fire gets a hold of it, vapor. What's vapor do? Goes up. Rapture. So we see that 1963 was a rapture. March, the seven angels taking us into the air over Sunset Mountain. Christ crowned Son of Man right there. We return back to the earth to set up the kingdom of Christ according to Revelations 11 and 15. We're here now. We went there. We all went there. He's seen us all there. We took our crowns off. We done everything. We crowned the Son of Man and finished up the sonship and came back to earth to set up the kingdom of the Father. So we see in 1963, the seven thunders came forth. The seals were open and the Son of Man came fully on the scene for the final half of the messianic sign. The final half in the first half was in Jesus. Everybody's waiting on the second half to be when Jesus comes back again. But that's not going to happen. He came back. He entered into us on the day of Pentecost. He came back on Sunset Mountain. He crowned himself. We crowned him Lord of Glory. And he's back in the earth. And the second half took place from 63 until the prophet went off the scene. And William Branham revealing the mystery, finishing the redemption plan of the church ages. It was done. He stood there in the sixth seal. He said it plain as anything. Look who opened this seal. Moses and Elijah, prophets. He said they were right there and opened the seal. They were back in the earth, fulfilling the last 3.5 years of the Messiah sign in that ministry. So we see that now in 1963, the prophet of the age, William Branham, the prophet to the age, was standing in Pisces. He said that. It was a Piscean age. Go read Stature of a Perfect Man. He said that he said, we are presently standing in the cross fishes of the zodiac. Okay? That is Pisces. And then he said, the church, so he was putting himself in Pisces. He said, but the church is in Cancer. And Cancer is the seven sisters waiting to be raptured. And he said, the church is in Cancer. The prophet was in Pisces. Church was in Cancer. The seven sisters in Pleiades. The seals opened. And this is what he said. Look who ripped open those seals. And who came out from behind those seals into the earth? Leo the lion of the tribe of Judah. Who spoke for the next 3.5 years? William Branham, Leo the lion. He stepped out of Pisces 40 years before anybody else did. He stepped out of Pisces and went into Leo, the constellation of Leo, took on Leo the lion, and began to bring the messages that would take us over the transition age and put us over here into Aquarius. Now, so the prophet stepped into Leo from Pisces. And Leo the lion, the tribe of Judah, what did he do? He raptured the church. Where did he rapture the church to? You say, well, I don't know. Well, I do. He raptured them out of Pisces into Aquarius. So the prophet is standing in Leo constellation, bringing forth his prophetic message. And the church is standing in Aquarius. So you have the prophet in Leo, the church in Aquarius, but there's still something else to happen. It was hard for him to bring his message. It was hard for people couldn't understand it. They began to leave him left and right. They'd done all kinds of things. And it was very hard because if you take Leo and Aquarius And the earth in Pisces, it almost makes it a trine, and you lose a whole lot of communication in a trine if you understand astrology and astronomy very much. So you lose a lot of power. So the earth stayed in Pisces. The church moved into Aquarius, was raptured. The prophet goes into Leo and begins to bring his prophetic message. And this doesn't make for a good communication model. It's not good. So the message wasn't setting just right. And he was having trouble and he wanted to quit and he wanted to leave and he wanted to go off the scene. You know all the things he said. The message wasn't setting just right for him. The understanding that the people were receiving, he said, plain up in the seventh seal questions, he said, it's not for you. You're getting it intellectually, but just live a good Christian life. So the message was coming across intellectually, and he knew he was supposed to go ahead and minister it because it was going to another generation of people. Now, this lack of communication continued as we fought to understand the message through the transitional age. We'll come back to that in just a minute. 1963, watch how quick this age died, and they moved out of Pisces into Aquarius. 1963, political leader of the world, John Kennedy, assassinated in Dallas, Texas, Lone Star State. Gemini, air sign, wiped away in a moment's time. 1964, religious leader of the world, Pope John Paul, died, leaving the church in shambles as far as the Catholic Church. They didn't know what to do. And John Kennedy died and left the United States in shambles. They didn't know what to do. And in 1965, spiritual leader and prophet, William Branham, died in a car wreck, December 24, 1965. Lone Star State, right there, just Aries, fire sign goes off the scene. Gemini sign goes off the scene. All these things are, it's wiping it all out. All that was in Pisces, it's wiping it out. 1968, civil rights leader of the world, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis, Tennessee being called the city of the pyramids. That's where, if you go to Egypt, that's where the pyramids are at, in Memphis. If you come to the United States, they got that big pyramid in Memphis. It's as far as you can go to the Mississippi River, and you cross over into the other side of the Continental Divide. So we see it was showing an end, ends in Memphis, Tennessee. He's shot. He's killed. Capricorn, earth sign. In 1968, political leader, presidential front runner, Robert Kennedy, assassinated in Los Angeles, California. Water sign. All of these things were, I mean, one right after the other. In a period of 20 years, every prominent person was gone. 1977. 56 was the end of the church ages. 1977. Elvis Presley, rock and roll, king of music, king of rock, king of everything, died. A complete era. Gone. In a 20-year period. Laodicea totally ended. We watched the complete end to the last church age in 20 years. It was done. It was over and it was gone. And that brings us, you know, in 1946, Israel was recognized as a nation. Started flying the flag. David took the flag of David and they took the seat in the UN Council. And by 67... they had a six-day war. And in the six-day war, the Arab nations were defeated drastically, catastrophically defeated. And the Lord held up every promise that he gave to Israel. And that covenant to Israel is finished. What you're watching today, that Israel is not the Israel that the Lord is concerned with. That is Zionist. That is another nation, just like any other nation. And I haven't got a bad word to say about them. I love them, but that's not the Israel we need to be watching in this day. So the Six-Day War of the Arab nations against Israel happened. The Spirit finished up his covenant, set him on the throne, proved everything he said he would do for the throne of David. And in 1970, I was a 16-year-old boy, and I remember standing up in 1970, and declaring that the church ages were over. I could see a lot of this going on as a young boy. I said, the church ages are over. There's a brand new day that's coming. And I remember all of the mentors of mine. They said, you need to leave things alone. Just shut up about it. You're just a young man. Nobody really wants to hear you. In 1972, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention. You know, an Aquarius. In 1972, I began to declare the Lord had returned, as he promised. And he went away in a cloud, and he came back in a cloud. And there on Sunset Mountain, he returned, went away in a cloud of witnesses, came back in a cloud of witnesses. Well, I lost most of my pulpits then. And that was 1972. 1977, I declared that the world systems did terminate. They did end, and a new world, the head has been cut off of it. William Branham put his feet on it. It's dead, and a new world is on the rise. Then they thought I was really crazy. But I remember this in 1977, and it always stuck with me. And there was a prophecy that a sister, we went to her home, and a very poor lady, she was sitting next to a wood stove. It was very cold. I remember giving her my coat. But she was sitting there, and it just started rolling out. She was talking to me. And back at that time, you never heard these kind of words. My son, thou art chosen to bring light to Israel, which I know who Israel is now, and to gather the seed from the cloud. No one was talking about that, seed coming from the cloud. Your journey is sure, and your feet are set to trod in a gospel that is not known. This is a new gospel. Everybody, you know, what do you mean a gospel that's not known? What are you talking about, a seed from the cloud? What is all this? You're not of the establishment of the message. I'm not. And you will come to see that you are to suffer greatly in breaking the barriers of darkness. And I have. For many, you will break the barriers of darkness, and the message folk will persecute you for it. And they have. This is all an elderly lady in 1977. Now, see, I'm a 23-year-old boy at that time. I have hid you behind a veil that has gone by, and I will move you among a people that must come from behind that veil. You will not stay too long in that false light that I have hid you behind. As I have chosen you, and I have chosen your time to see that rising from the dust. You must walk in the day star at the breaking of the day. When the evening people and the evening message, when it is clear to them and they envision the end, that is when you shall rise in the morning sun and not the shadows of an evening sunset. You must walk with the day star. Be not afraid, for I will do this, and the seed in the cloud shall prosper as the desert places bloom in roses. The food from the storehouse is plenteous. You will stand before many races. I've done it. Upon many continents, six of the seven, and preach the everlasting gospel. As the angel of the Lord, you will enlighten the earth with its glory. That was brought to me in 1977. I put it up. It touched my heart. It's a poor elderly lady that had all kinds of trouble, and she passed within a couple years. But Every bit of it happened. Every bit of it happened. So we see this now. 1997. January. We're coming through that transition age. We saw the prophet move into Leo. We saw the church move into Aquarius. But the sun stayed in Pisces. But in January of 1997, the sun took its move into Aquarius. The people were in Aquarius. 40 years. William Branham had carried us over there. The people were raptured into Aquarius, but we didn't know what it was. We fought over it. We didn't know what to do. The earth now had come into Aquarius. The prophet was in Leo. So in order for us to get together, there needed to come a message in Aquarius. There needed to come a message that came past all of that transition age, and a message that was very clear message for Aquarius and the Aquarius people. The earth is in Aquarius, the people's in Aquarius, and the message needed to come from Aquarius, this age. In 1998, which was shortly after that, the air signs met under the Southern Cross in New Zealand. Aotearoa, the long white cloud, under the cloud. Jerry Almazan, a Libra, set up a meeting between Mitta Edwardson, a Gemini, and Dom Parnell, an Aquarian. All three air signs met together under the long white cloud. It's all happening in the earth. This combination opened the new understanding to the world. Now listen, when you've got a people in one house and a prophet in another house and the sun in another house, you got complications. But when you can get all things into one house, that's as simple a communication as it comes. And that's why we are understanding so much now. That's why so much is coming out from hundreds of brethren all across the world now, is because we're all in Aquarius together. And when you come to that, through the technology of this day, we've plunged into the age of Aquarius. And the understanding is just flowing like wildfire through the earth. 2002, April, 1997-98, it was beginning to open up and leave the transition age. 2002, New York City, the visitation opened, the flow of the revelation came, and, you know, Elijah told Elisha, he said, if you see me when I'm gone, I'll give you a double portion. New York City, 2002, April. I saw Elijah. I'm not claiming I have a double portion. I'm claiming a double portion for this age. I understand who I am and what I represent. 2002 of May. That was 2002 April. 2002 of May, the same alignment as May 1962 happened again. The Aquarian age came fully upon us and upon the world. The transition started back there May of 62 in the heavens, and the transition ended, and we come smack into Aquarius, and the messages begin to open up. The cupbearer, remember Aquarius means a cupbearer. He was carrying a pitcher. And the Aquarian is the cupbearer of the zodiac. Nehemiah said, Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant me mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. See, he was supposed to go before the king, Atraxes, and he had a sad contentance. And he said, grant me favor in the sight of this king. You know what a cupbearer was? You say, well, that's the one that carried the wine around for the king, and he'd give it to the king. It's a little more than that. The cupbearer, when wine was brought in, he drank a cup of it first to make sure that it wasn't poisoned and it would kill the king. So he was a cupbearer would get the revelation, the wine, first and drink it and then say, hey, this is good. And then give it to the king. So in the Aquarian age, we are receiving that revelation, that wine, firsthand. It's coming to us right straight from the vine. In the Aquarian house, Nehemiah went before the king, and he cried out, and the king heard his prayer and brought back Israel and rebuilt Israel to where they were at. So we see now, there was another time. Jesus was getting ready to go into his Last Supper with him. And in Luke 22, the same came the day of the unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And Jesus said to Peter and John, I want you to go and prepare the Passover that we may eat. And he's telling them, discerning and telling them what's going to happen. Because they said, where are we going to find a place? What are you talking about? And Jesus just discerns everything out and says, go into the city and you'll see a man standing. Meet him. He'll be bearing a cup, a pitcher in his hand, full of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto him, good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber? We need it. We need a guest chamber to have the Passover with the master. And so the disciples go into town. Sure enough, they run into a guy with a pitcher full of water. And they said, where's the guest chamber? We need a place to eat with our master. And he takes them to the place. And Jesus tells them, he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There, go and make ready. So we see twice that the Aquarian age comes in effect when Christ is in his fullness on the scene to bring a restoration. Aquarius is a man bearing water in a pitcher or a cup. In many places, he's called the cupbearer. Nehemiah was the cupbearer that touched the king's heart, rebuilt Jerusalem after the fall of Babylon. Jesus told the disciples to find a cupbearer and the man with a pitcher and follow him into the room. And so we see all this going on. Now, the Aquarian house is the character of I do. Okay, that I'm going to put a square in Aquarius now. It's not only believe. It's not I am that I am. It's not any of those things now. The Aquarian house, its character, is a double portion. It's one of the only ones that has it. It's a double portion, and it is I do, I give. Well, we just come up to a marriage, didn't we? At the end of Pisces, there was a prophet taking the seven sisters and marrying them to Christ. So the common thing, the most sensible thing for the Aquarian character to be is, do you take Jesus Christ to be your lawful wedded husband? I do. So that is. And then once she says, I do, the marriage finishes. It's done and it's over. But she has a second thing to do, and that is I give. And that's what we've been doing. Everything that we are receiving, we are a wife now, and we are giving. We're giving everything. We're giving our lives. We're giving our information. We're giving our love and our compassion. We're giving everything. So we see this, and it is the emblem of the Aquarian is two lines of infinity. So that's where we're at. We've come to infinity. It depicts a man with a pitcher in his hands, and the pitcher is tipped, and he's pouring out an endless amount of water into the southern fish, which, you know, if you go into Solomon, he talks about the gardens. His garden and his lover would meet him in the southern garden and so forth. And it's Christ and his wife living their life out here in earth. And it started back there in 97, 98 under the Southern Cross, the Southern Garden, New Zealand, Aotearoa, the long white cloud. The air sign began to move through the earth. That is where the transitional period began to end. And the new age opened in the earth, the sign in the heaven, the Southern Cross, the signs that are happening in the earth, the cloud, all of these different things, bringing the life back to the collective body. That's what it's about. The Aquarian pouring his water into the southern fish, or bringing life. You remember those fish were dead. They were upside down. Any fish you see dead in the water, if it's upside down, or it's in the water and it's upside down, it's dead. And the Aquarian house was to bring life back in to the wife of Jesus Christ. That's what's going on right now. The sign in the heavens is happening. The sign in the earth is happening. The water is happening. The Aquarian, I do and I give, is happening. We've come into the Aquarian age. It brings life to the collective body. The movement is on. It's happening all around us, and we'll get into this Aquarian age, and we'll look at what to expect in here, because it's not all, candy and Coke. There's a lot to do, and when we get into this Aquarian age, it's through the scriptures, it's through the prophets, it's through the zodiac, it's through so many things that you can see what's going on. So we'll get into that. And I hope this has been a help for you. The younger ones, they were begging for it. And I know many, I say younger, a lot of older people who have sat in the church for years upon years and decades upon decades are just tired of listening to the same old, I guess is the best way to put it. They're tired of it. They want to hear something. We're in the new age. We're in Aquarius. We are the cupbearer. We are getting the wine first. The revelation is coming to us in this age, fresh, straight from the vine. We're getting it all, and we're under the long white cloud. We're in the air sign. We ended the Piscean age. I gave you, I don't know how many, over a 20-year period, leaders, prominent leaders across the earth that just died and are gone because the age ended and we've come into a brand new day. Love bless you. And we will come back to this again and continue to look at this Aquarius age now. I got you in it. Come back and listen to it. Pay attention. Think about it. It's all around you. It's happening everywhere. Lord Jesus, we come to you, pillar of fire, the great one who come back in this age. After the Piscean age was over, the pillar of fire, you, moved into the Aquarian age and took up flesh in a collective body and are living in it. And we thank you for that. We pray that you would bless us. We pray that you would heal our bodies. We pray that you would be with us while all of this chaos of the entry into Aquarius is taking place. And we're watching great, great changes in every single realm, dimension. Everything is going on. We're watching it and we see it. We pray that you would bless us. Keep our hearts open. Keep our minds open. Let us see these great things that are happening. And let us continue to talk about them, open them up. Because talking about it puts the frequency for the new age into the ether. And then that frequency can take over. That vibration can take over. You don't necessarily have to be everywhere. Just put it out there. Amen. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Love bless you. And I will see you the next time, Tuesday, 6 p.m.